I would like to read the first three verses of this 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And I would also like to call your attention to Acts, the fifth chapter. Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And moving on down to verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Father, tonight we claim no ability of our own to discern the mind of God. We do not try to determine what our needs are tonight, but we simply say, share with us, Lord, through your Spirit and through your Word, that we might find new direction for life. So we commit these moments to you and your Word to you in Christ's name. Amen. 5:15. They laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Of what use is a shadow, that unsubstantial nothing that seemingly follows us around on a sunny day? In Eastern lands today, a person's shadow has more meaning and significance than it does here with many of us. In India, for example, a high caste Brahmin would throw away his food if the shadow of an untouchable, an outcast, passed over it. The shadow of some people was thought to be contaminated. On the other hand, however, when Mahatma Gandhi was alive, people would actually maneuver themselves so that his shadow would actually fall upon their physical body. Mr. Gandhi was very thin and frail and didn't have much of a shadow. But what there was very precious, very much of significance to those who perhaps could get close enough to share in this part of his being. In New Testament times, we read of people who believe that a good man carried with him some healing influence. And this influence could be so strong that it could be shared with that individual through the very shadow of that person falling upon them. And for example, in our scripture here, the crowd pressed in as close to Peter and his fellow missionaries as they could get in the hope that the shadow of this good man, Peter, might fall on them and heal them. And while some would say that this idea is almost wholly superstitious, it is symbolic of a fact that is not superstition. And this is the fact that I would like to share with you tonight. It is the fact that every one of us does cast some kind of a shadow that either heals or hurts. And your shadow and my shadow tonight is our influence, the effect that we have on other people. And you can no more keep from exerting an influence than you can keep from casting a shadow on a sunny day. You cannot throw a stone in a swimming pool without causing ripples. And I think we'll note that the ripples will spread out, reach out in widening circles until they finally touch the edge of that pool. And likewise, you cannot put a person into any sphere of life's existence without causing ripples of influence that widen out until they touch the very shores of people's lives. Oh, we probably don't think enough about our influence. There are constantly going out from us silent, invisible forces that lay hold on other people's lives to shape their thoughts, to mold their opinions, to lift them up in inspiration or pull them down in depression. Yes, we are all tremendously affected by the shadows of influence, what other people say and do, the invisible pull of one life upon another. I suppose in my earlier days, I pulled my share of pranks. And I would like to share with you tonight perhaps one of the more intelligent pranks that I shared in my younger days. Three of us might have been walking down a sidewalk and one would shift off into the pavement of that busy street and stand there looking up and smiling and all of a sudden recognizing something. Of course, you and I know there was nothing up there for them to see, but they would stand there looking up and then the second one would come in and and a third one would come in. And sooner or later, there would be people walking by that would kind of fit into that circle, looking up, trying to figure out what it was that was up there. And I guess the real success of this game
was the actual number of sky gazers that we could attract. And of course, the neatest part of all was just to kind of finish your gaze and turn and walk away and watch those people standing there looking skyward. But that, you see, is always happening to us in life. It happens every time someone starts a fad. Short hair, long hair, mini skirts, blue jeans, chain letters. One eccentric makes another. And soon there is a chain of people all doing the same thing simply because of one person's example. Sometimes it actually gets into the serious matter of moral choices. But one thing for sure, we all have an influence. We have a shadow. We see it in the story we read in the gospel. Peter and some other disciples were standing there on the lake shore after the resurrection. Peter, I guess, looked at his old boats and said, "I go a-fishing." And the other disciples said, "Well, we also go with thee." And there's the illustration of influence. We also, me too, I'll go with you. If you're going, I'll go along with you. One man, by his example, can make or break the morale of any organization, whether it's a club, a teen group, a church, or a city. No one can get off the beam without taking someone with him. But no one can be true to Christ, my friend, without influencing other people. We also go with you. Ripples, shadows. How long is the shadow of your influence? And what is it affecting? There are some things about this shadow of influence of ours, this force, we might call it, of which we need to be constantly reminded. The first is this: influence is always positive. We ourselves may not be very positive. What we are doing to influence others may not be positive. As a matter of fact, we may be quite negative or even neutral. But our shadow, the influence that goes out, is never neutral. It always casts its vote on one side or the other. And remember, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." That is, our influence is positive whether we are or not. For neglecting to choose is in itself a choice. And when we straddle a moral and spiritual issue, we have not only ourselves to think about and the effect that it might have on us in our lives, but we have also our shadows to remember, the effect of our influence on other people. We were sharing along this very line in our teen fellowship hour before the service this evening. And our teens concluded the fact that we perhaps have more of an influence than what we know. All that we are doing is influencing others. And whether it's our choice to say, "Well, bless God, I can go to the shows and still be a Christian," we're hampering the influence of our denomination stand. We are boycotting the movie industry. And for one individual to say, "Well, I can be a Christian and do that. I can choose the movies that I'll go to," we're hampering the influence of our denomination by our own choice of influence. Influence is always positive. It casts its vote. Secondly, influence is for the most part unconscious. There is much more in it than is visible to the eye as far as our influence goes. You are seldom conscious of your shadow as you walk down the street on a sunny day. Likewise, you hardly ever think of the influence that goes out from your life continually. That shadow that lays on other people's lives as you pass them by. As a matter of fact, it's a bit like sunshine itself. The sun isn't conscious of going into the trees and the grass and the flowers. Yet every moment its energy is silently, invisibly entering all the living things of earth. It's there. Likewise, our influence is an energy. It is subtle. It is silent. It is invisible. And for the most part, unconscious. We sometimes forget that. We sometimes think that our influence is intentional only. When we want to influence someone, that's when we influence them. For example, one day we may get to thinking about our influence on others. Maybe it's the kind of talk that we are using. Maybe it's the attitude we are showing. Maybe we realize that our children are growing up fast, and if we're going to set a good example, it's about time we do it now. Maybe in prayer, maybe in church attendance, maybe in a more positive attitude toward other people. After we put on a little act for the children, the temptation comes to sit back and smile and say, well, now we've done it. We've influenced the kids. And we have, I admit. All of it has value. But you know, we do a lot of things by spurts. But remember, by far the largest part of influence is unconscious. What is really talking to our kids is not the speech we just made while trying to impress them, but our casual conversation when we were not trying to impress them. What is really taking hold on their lives is not the spurt, but our day-by-day spirit, when we were not even thinking of our influence or even aware of our children's attention. Show me a positive, happy child, and I'll show you a positive, happy home. In other words, it's the shadow. It's the shadow of influence that really does it. That silent little shadow that goes in and out with me. Our shadow, our unconscious influence, is something we can't fight. It's always there, whether we want to believe it or not. The shadow is there. And as a father, I would be afraid for my daughter to hear me by loose talk undermine her confidence in her church, her friends' parents, or her country. For you see, a child's attitude about his church and the ministry, his school and its teachers, his country and its leaders, is often determined by casual conversation around the table. Oh, I know all of this is trite, but it is surprising how slow we are to learn it. However humble a place I may hold, or lowly the trails I trod, there's a son who bases his faith on me. There's that daughter who thinks I am God. Lord, keep me worthy. Lord, keep me clean and fearless and unbeguiled, lest I lose caste in the sight of that boy and the wide, clear eyes of that precious little girl. Lest there come in the years to be the blight of a withering grief and a little girl mourn for a fallen God and a boy for his lost belief. How long is your shadow? On whom does it fall? Another thing about influence is that it is almost immortal. It has a lasting quality. It lives beyond the life from which it emanated. We have seen how one person influences a second, the second a third, the third a fourth, and thus the shadow gets lengthened. Tennyson has Ulysses say, "I am a part of all that I have met." That is, we pick up something from everyone we come in contact with. The writer Robert Ingersoll wrote a book full of arguments against religion. This man is still alive in his shadow, still making skeptics of people. People he has never seen. But the Apostle Paul is still alive in his influence, still drawing men to Christ with his words, with his life. And the words, many of them penned in a Roman prison 19 centuries ago. And you know, in some degree, that is true of us all and our influence. All that a man has ever said or done is registered somewhere in what the Bible calls the book of life. So call no act insignificant. Put a deed into life, get an idea going, and you never know where the shadow of it will fall or how far the ripple will reach. It is interesting to note that so powerful is this force that Jesus chose it as the means to evangelize the world. Influence, a human network, one person tells another, the pull of one life upon another, the attractiveness of the Christian life. There may be someone here tonight that is here because of your influence, because of your Christian shadow. And you too probably are here as a result of the influence and shadow of another. This multiplication factor is a very exciting dimension in the Christian life. The use of a shadow, the shadow we cast on the life of someone else, is more than we can see. Infinitely more than we can see. People sometimes wonder about the judgment day. I've heard it asked, why aren't we judged when we die, when life is finished here? Oh, it's true, we immediately go to a place of bliss or a place of torment, but why wait for the judgment day? Why not go now to be judged by God? Well, I don't know all of God's reasoning behind this, but I read of someone making an interesting observation. He said that we have to wait till final judgment day because the returns are not yet in. At death, life is finished here, but the record isn't. Influence has yet to be computed. Now, that may be a bit too legalistic for some of us, but how long is your shadow? Upon whom does the shadow of your influence fall? The final thing about influence is that it is irrevocable. That is, once it is exerted, it can never be changed or recalled. Once it has gone out from us, it is there. A man may change his business, his residence, his nationality, his name, but the influence that has gone out from him lives in the lives of those that he has come in contact with, and it's there, never to be changed. I read an account of one of the most disastrous fires in the history of this continent. It was caused by an officer in the United States Army. He was returning to Fort Hays with a party of fellow officers. They were returning from a hunting expedition. They'd all been drinking heavily, and at this particular time, the wind had been blowing and the grass was very dry. And this officer lit his pipe and in his drunken recklessness dropped the burning match to the dry, crisp grass. Some of his companions, sober enough to sense the real danger involved, tried to stop the quick blaze, but they were too late. The flame swept through the high grass and was gone beyond their control in a matter of moments. The streams and roads were no barrier for this flame. The fire, as a matter of fact, swept on for days all through Kansas and Oklahoma. Crops were ruined, homes destroyed, herds of cattle and horses trapped, and thousands upon thousands of settlers left homeless in the fire. And when the soldier had sobered to realize the extent of what had happened, he, of course, was filled with a great amount of guilt and remorse. And the record says that his hair actually turned white and he almost went out of his mind. But for this man, no amount of repentance or remorse could change the disaster he had caused. It had happened. All of his sorrow could not undo all of the damage of that one moment. That may be a bit melodramatic for you, but it is nonetheless true. An influence is just like that. It is positive, it is unconscious, it is almost immortal. But we cannot change it once it has happened. Boys flying kites haul in their white-winged birds. You can't do that when you're flying words. Careful with fire is good advice, we know. Careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Thoughts unexpressed sometimes fall back dead, but God Himself can't kill them once they're said. Remember, the size and shape of the shadow is determined by the person casting that shadow. So I ask you a deeper question tonight, not just how long is your shadow, not just upon whom is your shadow falling as you pass by on the streets of life, but my question is, of what quality is your shadow? And that is where the key lies. Do you know tonight that your thoughts, that your actions, that your motivation, all of your life is governed by God? Do you know that Jesus Christ forgives you of all of your sins? Do you know that the influence that goes out from your voice, from your actions, from your life, is a positive influence for Christ? This is so important that I want to give you the opportunity, if you are not now living in a relationship with Christ, so that He governs your influence, your shadow, I want to give you the opportunity of coming and finding Christ tonight. In a moment, I'm going to have us stand and sing together hymn number 232, Just As I Am. Before that, I want us to pause and have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word that has brought light to us this evening. And I believe, Heavenly Father, that through this word you have brought new attention to those who perhaps are living a bit carelessly this evening. And Father, I pray that You would help us all to be as awake and as sober as we know we should be, as we cast the shadow of our influence on people day in and day out. Father, right now, if Your Spirit has been convicting, and if Your Holy Spirit is leading to the place of prayer, may men and women mind God. This is our prayer this evening. In Christ's name, amen.